की फाउंडर चाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस शिल प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की ओ ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरियस टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ओ ग्लोरियस टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ओ ग्लोरियस टू शिल प्रभुपाद Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 21, text number 6. If I got it correct?
Yeah,
6 and 7.
6 through 9.
6 through 9. We might get as far as 7. Let's see how we go. We'll see what Krishna has in store. The best laid plans of mice and men are apt to go astray. So text number 6.
Iti Venu Ravam Rajan Sarva Bhuta Manoharam Srutva Vraja Striyaha Sarva Varnayantyo Bire Bire Iti Venuravam Rajan Sarva Bhuta Manoharam Srutva Vraja Striya Sarva Vanayantyo bire bire Iti Venu Ravam Rajan Sarva Bhuta Manoharam Srutva Vraja Striya Sarva Vanayantyo Bire bire.
Bye.
Ladies, please. Iti, thus, Venura, sorry, Venuravam, the vibration of the flute, Rajan, O King Parikshit, Sarvabhuta, of all living beings, Manaharam, stealing the mind, Srutva, hearing. Vrajastriyaha, the ladies standing in the village of Raj. Sarva, all of them. Vanayantya, engaged in describing. Abhirebhire, embraced one another. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, O King, when the young ladies in Braj heard the sound of Krishna's flute, which captivates the minds of all living beings, they all embraced one another and began describing it. I'm just thinking. Purport is, it's the disciples of, yeah, sorry. So, yeah. Small point of clarification. Purport. The word iti here indicates that after becoming speechless by remembering Krishna, the cowherd damsels then regained their composure and were thus able to ecstatically describe the sound of Krishna's flute. As a few gopis began to exclaim, and the other gopis realized that they shared the same ecstatic love within their hearts, all of them started embracing one another, overwhelmed with conjugal love for young Krishna. So, should I read text 7? Okay. I hadn't prepared anything beyond 7, so maybe 7 might be okay. I wasn't, yeah. I thought I was going ahead by doing 7, but actually I'm behind as usual. Sorry? Thank you very much. Subject matter is same. Krishna. Text number 7. Oh, so we do this together or I just read? I just read. Thank you. Sri Gopya Uchu Akshan Vatam Palamidam Na Param Vidama Sakya Pushan Anuvi Veshaya Torva Yasyai Vaktam Vrajesha Sutayor Anuvenu Justam Yervani pitam arukata tataksham. Translation, the cowherd girl said, O friends, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nanda are certainly fortunate. As these two sons enter the forest surrounded by their friends, driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision. purport. This translation is quoted from Srila Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adilila 4.155. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented as follows, quote, "The gopis meant to say, O friends, if you simply remain in the shackles of family life in this material world, what will you ever get to see? The Creator has granted us these eyes, so let us see the most wonderful thing there is to see, Krishna." The gopis were aware that their mothers or other elder persons might hear their romantic words and disapprove, and thus they said, "Akshanavatam phalam," quote, "to see Krishna is the goal for all persons and not simply ourselves." In other words, the gopis indicated that since Krishna is the supreme object of love for everyone, why couldn't they also love him in spiritual ecstasy? According to the Acharyas, a different gopi spoke this and each of the following verses through text 19. Om agana timarandasya gananjana salakaya chakshurun militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanyam inopistam stapitam jena bhutale svayam rupa kadamayam dadati svapadantikam vandeham sri guru sri yuta padakamalam sri gurun vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prahijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitam Sya He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brindavanishvari Rishabhanu Sutu Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshaka Patribhyascha Kripa Sundabhevacha Patitanam Pavenibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha, Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master is forcing me to open my eyes with the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. O King, when the young ladies in Braj heard the sound of Krishna's flute, which captivates the minds of all living beings, they all embraced one another and began describing it. The cowherd girl said, O friends, those eyes that see the beautiful faces of the sons of Maharaj Nanda are certainly fortunate. As these two sons enter the forest, surrounded by their friends, driving the cows before them, they hold their flutes to their mouths and glance lovingly upon the residents of Vrindavan. For those who have eyes, we think there is no greater object of vision. Ramiya Prabhu yesterday was describing the first section of this chapter, and I cannot help but glorify his class yesterday. I found it very pleasing to hear and helped me to focus on the prime subject matter of life, which is to hear about Krishna in his many, many pastimes. But we are hearing in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam the Vrindavan Leela of Krishna. And he recited so many beautiful parts of that first section up to the verses that we are here discussing. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments in a similar way as our Srila Prabhupada we find that Srila Prabhupada describes Krishna's pastimes, but very quickly he is able to relate those pastimes to our existential position in this world. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur does a similar thing, where he says, quote, "The gopis meant to say, oh friends, if you simply remain in the shackles of family life in this material world, what will you ever get to see? The Creator has granted us these eyes, so let us see the most wonderful thing there is to see, Krishna." Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also presented this mood in his lifetime. We see in the later writings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes very emphatically that I don't want to see the face of anyone who is even tinged with Aishvarya Bhav. So this is the writings of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He'd become so absorbed in this mood of complete absorption in the Braj Leela, the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, that he seemed to be speaking in a disparaging way about those who are influenced or in the mood of Aishwarya Bhav. The same Bhaktivinoda Thakur, though, he says that unless we are on the level of Paramahamsa, you cannot neglect four aspects of your life. Those four aspects seemingly are mundane, or they appear, or could be said, oh, this is very mundane for such a personality who's spoken that he doesn't want to look at the face of anyone who's even tinged by Aishvarya Bhav. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that for one who is not a Paramahamsa, he has to pay attention to four aspects of life. The first one is that he or she has to make sure that the body is in good health. Sounds a little mundane. But unless the body is functioning properly, then how will we be able to engage in service to the Supreme Lord? So the body has to be maintained in a suitable fashion. The second point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks of is the mind. He says, this is in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, that he explains that the mind must have appropriate stimulus. Because unless there is proper stimulus for the mind, we know, chanchalam hi mana krishna, the mind is like flickering and going here and going there. So unless the mind has some positive engagement. Again, this was Srila Prabhupada's mood. He said that the responsibility of our leaders is to provide a fresh challenge for the devotees. Why? So that the mind will be able to be captured by that fresh challenge and one will be enthusiastic to engage in those activities. So the mind must be stimulated. Now it's interesting, as we go through these four points, we can become derailed by any of those. We hear, oh, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says you have to keep the body healthy. Yes. So we go straight out to the mall or to the health food store and we buy all these pills and creams and potions and just to keep the body going. We say, yes, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says you have to keep your body in good health. Haribo. And then we hear about the mind, and that's a devil's workshop, we have heard. So if we hear that you have to have proper, yes, my mind has to be satisfied. And we focus very much on our mental satisfaction. The third one that Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about is social well-being. Or one has to be situated properly in the social structure of society. So that means one has to have proper income, proper family relationship, proper association with other devotees. And then finally, the fourth item is spiritual practices, study of Shastra, devotional activities to elevate the consciousness of the living entity. So we see the constant call for balance in our life. Often that is said, oh, We want to learn how to live a balanced life in Krishna consciousness. And sometimes the answer is, a balanced life means so much for Krishna, maybe 50, 80% and 20% Maya. That's a kind of balanced life. But we suggest that that's not the right idea. A balanced life in Krishna consciousness means 100% in Krishna consciousness, but making sure that those four items have their proper application. That we keep our body in proper condition, we have mental stimulus and social well-being, and we are engaged in developing the spiritual practices. Why do we want to pursue this path? Is because we are taking instruction from our Guru Maharaj, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, who gave us the Srimad Bhagavatam, he gave us the 10th canto, and he encouraged us in the line of acharyas to absorb ourselves in the pastimes of Krishna. The pastimes of Krishna, not only with the gopis, but the pastimes of Krishna and all his activities. We heard yesterday the qualification of the gopis. The gopis were seeing Krishna through the eyes of their hearts. I thought that was an amazing statement, that to see Krishna. We want to see Krishna. And Krishna says, Atasi Krishna Namadi Nabhavid Griyam Indriyoy. I am not able to be seen by the blunt material senses, but I reveal myself to my devotees when I am pleased with them for their devotional service. One devotee recently, a young devotee, actually Gurukul, young man, and he said, actually we shouldn't want to see Krishna, we should want to behave in such a way that Krishna will want to see us. I think he quoted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in that way. So yes, we are trying to learn how to act in such a way that Krishna will want to see us. And the gopis, they were able to see Krishna through their hearts. Why? Because their hearts were totally absorbed in Krishna. When they saw the dust in Vrindavan, when the dust was rising from the cows in the morning time and in the evening time, they weren't seeing just dust. I was told yesterday there was concrete dust. Somebody was cutting concrete, so there was dust. But they were seeing Krishna. They were seeing Balaram. They were seeing Krishna and Balaram in their pastimes. Just like a mother or a father, but the example is usually for a mother, she sees the small shoes of her child, but she doesn't see shoes, she sees her child. Out of loving connection, if we see something of a beloved, we actually see the person. In a similar way, the gopis, everything they saw would remind them of their beloved. They couldn't go anywhere and see anything without seeing Krishna and being absorbed in that consciousness. But they were not proud. We heard also yesterday how the pastime of the gopis in the forest searching for Krishna, where is Krishna? And Lord Krishna took the form of Narayana and stood there. And they said, have you seen Krishna? We want to find Krishna. They weren't interested so much in Lord Narayana other than to ask him for directions. So this may seem a little irreverential, but their mood was to find Krishna. But they were not proud. I'll see where we find that. In that mood of seeing through the eyes of their hearts, they had not become proud. Later on we heard that the gopis were feeling themselves to be nothing in comparison to all others who serve Krishna. They were thinking that the flute was more advanced than them because the flute was getting the nectar of Krishna's lips. My wife was mentioning yesterday, we used to work in our early days in Australia, we used to work at Spiritual Sky Incense back in those days. And one of the tapes that used to get played in Spiritual Sky Incense factory workshop was this pastime tape. And it spoke about, the bamboo flute is getting the nectar of Krishna's lips. And we used to hear it every day. And the gopis were saying, we are not so fortunate as the flute that is getting that nectar of Krishna, which actually belongs to us. They were thinking, this is what we want in Krishna's lips. But they were seeing that everyone else was more qualified, that Krishna is now going out in the morning time with the gopas, and they are Krishna's really close associates. Krishna wants to be with them. And they were not able to be with him throughout the day. But they were hanging on to those sidelong glances that Krishna would cast. They would hope that maybe he'll glance in our direction as he leaves Vrindavan. And all day we will think about Krishna. We'll come back home and again we may see him. And then if we are fortunate, Krishna may raise his venu and play his flute song and call us to him. And we will run into the forest to be with Krishna. But then we know Krishna chastised the gopis that, why have you come into the forest? This is a very dangerous place. You've come in the night. Why are you doing like that? You should be satisfied just meditating upon me. And the gopis were saying, we don't accept this idea. We are not interested in this kind of meditation. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appears, or should we say, Krishna appears. We are hearing in Chaitanya Charitamrita this most intimate understanding of the personality of Godhead. As Ramiya Prabhu was speaking yesterday, I really felt I got present. He created such a nice atmosphere that I got a glimpse, a glimmer of this idea or this reality that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas are presenting in the line of Lord Chaitanya what Krishna is wanting for this yuga. He comes in the form of Lord Chaitanya to relish and experience the love of Srimati Radharani and the gopis for himself. Whoops. The wind didn't blow it too far away. He came to experience that pleasure that the gopis feel in their loving relationship with himself. So Lord Chaitanya comes to bestow what no other incarnation bestows, the topmost, highest understanding of the personality of Godhead. Conventional religion normally gives some idea of God being our Father and the mood of some reverential service. In fact, normally Srila Prabhupada used to mention about conventional religion, we approach God for something. Give us our daily bread, give us some wealth, give us some good situation in the world. This is conventional religion. And then Srila Prabhupada explained that transcendental religion, that is the real purpose of religion, not simply to improve our situation here in this world, but to give us information of the transcendental reality. And this is the purpose of the process of Krishna consciousness, to give us the information that can help us to penetrate through the material covering and re-enter into this reality. Bhagavatam explains that this material universe is like a small mustard seed. And we are trapped inside a mustard seed. Recently we were talking about this in New Zealand, this subject matter. It's absolutely inconceivable and mind-boggling are the reality of the cosmic manifestation and the whole manifestation of Krishna's energies. So we're pretty much here inside this universe. Modern science describes that there are somewhere, they're not exactly sure, it's somewhere between 100 billion and 300 billion. They're not 200 billion, they're not sure of, but at least between 100 billion and 300 billion galaxies inside this universe. Okay, so let's have a universe. We've got an egg shape. Inside, there's 100 billion to 300 billion galaxies inside that universe. Inside each of the galaxies, there's between 300 and 500 billion planets or stars. So there's a lot of galaxies, and inside each galaxy, there's 300 to 500 billion planets or stars. And we are on one of those little planets floating in, I think it's called the Milky Way galaxy. That's one of the 600 billion galaxies floating around. And all of that is described by the Srimad Bhagavatam as like one mustard seed in a bag of mustard seeds. There's not just one universe, which is mind-boggling, inconceivably great and vast. Beyond our comprehension, we say, one universe, we go, yes, I got that, yeah, a universe. We have no idea of the vastness of a universe. And it's compared to being like a mustard seed in a sack of mustard seeds. So I was reading this morning, Srila Prabhupada said that the real process of yoga, bhakti yoga, is to take us, not 20, he actually spoke about the modern technology of going 25,000 miles into space and trying to approach one of the planets. He said real yoga is to take us through all the coverings of the universe to penetrate the spiritual sky where the reality is existing. And that spiritual sky we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam is filled with unlimited Vaikuntha planets. And that supreme Vaikuntha planet is the Goloka Vrindavan planet. And there is Krishna's eternal pastimes. So this abode can be approached in utter humility. We are not, and I don't know if you have, but I know I have at different times when we hear about the mood of the Braj, you'll say those absorbed in Braj, they're like the Braj Basis or those that are in that way going. It appears that they're thinking themselves better, but that is actually not the mood. That is the disqualification. They just know, and Srila Prabhupada explained that, they just know that they love Krishna. They don't even care if Krishna is God. They're so captivated by Krishna. I think it's been described as perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. So we have Lord Vishnu and Vaikuntha, which is completely perfect. And then we have more perfect is Krishna in the Vasudeva feature. And then we have Krishna in the most perfect feature in Vrindavan. And the Vrindavan Leelas, Nanda Kishore and Gopinath and Radhanathi. So we have stumbled across the most exalted thing imaginable, and by the kindness of Srila Prabhupada coming in this line of acharyas, we have been introduced to this great good fortune. Srila Prabhupada did say that he has created our good fortune. The example that was once given was that if someone gives you a briefcase and it's filled with, it used to be $1 million, but you might have to put maybe 10 million in there now to make it a lot of money, then they've created your fortune, and all we have to do is, if someone has that and offers it to you, is to pick it up. We have to pick it up. In a similar way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving this, he's bestowing what no other incarnation has bestowed. It is the topmost of all understandings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the most intimate, and our job is to simply to take it and to hold on to that which is being offered. And the way to do that is to associate with the Vaishnavas. As I said yesterday, I came, I'd been out for 4 or 5 days, we were attending a conference, and when I came back here I was just so happy to be in the association of the devotees, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and to be reminded of the special opportunity that we have to make progress. We know in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, yam yam vapi smaram bhavam, whatever state of consciousness when we leave this body, that state we will attain without fail. So the devotees are learning how to be active in this world, to become successful in this world. It's very important also for our young devotees to hear that it is important to become successful in this world in whatever they do, so that they can gradually move through their life in a very responsible way, which would be not embarrassing to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada did say to us, please don't embarrass me. I'm being criticized in so many ways by my god brothers in India that I've initiated so many mlechas, unqualified persons. And Srila Prabhupada asked, but please don't embarrass me. So it is our duty not to embarrass Srila Prabhupada. That means that we have to be first-class gentlemen and first-class ladies and show the example to the people in this world. And at the same time to cultivate Braj Bhakti. So this is a great challenge. But Mahatmanastu Mam Partha, Daivam Prakritam Ashrita, those great souls, we are following in the footsteps of the great souls. We ourselves are called to become great souls. That is our heritage. And we may not think, oh, I cannot be a great soul. But if we are able to follow those great souls, that will be our greatness. To follow in their footsteps. So whatever state of consciousness that we have cultivated, and it's the internal consciousness that will be the test. Externally we may appear in various ways, engaged in various activities, but it is within our heart that the test will be there to see what is the state of the heart. And if within the heart there is always a longing to please Srila Prabhupada by our activities, to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by following his Sankirtan movement, and to hear about Krishna and all his varieties of activities. That was Srila Prabhupada's mood. It is said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, recently I was looking through Chaitanya Charitamrita again, and the whole first section of Chaitanya Charitamrita talks about Raga Bhakti. It explains that we cannot go to Goloka Vrindavan until we develop Raga Bhakti. We have to have developed that spontaneous attachment and attraction to serving Krishna in Vrindavan. Now that becomes, how do we develop that Rag Bhakti? By following in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And who will we follow? Who is that inhabitant of Vrindavan that we will follow? Will we go to follow Nanda Maharaj or Mother Yasoda or the Gopis? No, we follow Srila Prabhupada. We follow Srila Prabhupada's example. Srila Prabhupada explained to us that if you go, it's called jumping over, Srila Prabhupada said, if we jump over to the previous acharyas in our quote-unquote enthusiasm to gain Braj Bhakti, we are in we're skating on very thin ice. And we don't want to fall into the water through thin ice. So the personality we look to all the time is Srila Prabhupada. What was Srila Prabhupada's mood? What was Srila Prabhupada's, or what were his activities? What was his example? What were his teachings? How did he encourage us? And in that way we will not, we won't be misled, or we will not make a mistake on this, on the path of developing this spontaneous platform. Srila Prabhupada is very interesting. He writes, I think in Nectar of Devotion, he doesn't make everything very complicated, but makes it simple. He says, in the beginning, the spiritual master is giving instructions to the disciples to rise early in the morning, and out of duty, a sense of duty, the disciples rise early and engage in the service of the Lord. Then after some time, the devotee likes to rise early and engage, and is always thinking, how will I dress the Lord today? How will I go and Sankirtan or Kirtan, he's looking forward to those things. Srila Prabhupada says this is spontaneous devotional service. So, again, this is the great science. Srila Prabhupada did explain that this Krishna consciousness is a great science. If we go too far ahead, we make a great mistake and we will fall through the ice. If we lag behind and do not maintain our utsahan, our enthusiasm to make progress, to always be spontaneously inspired to serve Krishna, then we will not make progress. I think Rupa Goswami has given us that as a barometer for us to check how we're going in spiritual life. Utsahan nishyadaryat tat tat karma pravartana. The first is enthusiasm. If we are enthusiastic, that is a good barometer that we are making progress in spiritual life. And if somehow we are not enthusiastic, then we have to think, oh, why am I not enthusiastic? And then don't think too long. Go and get into the association of those who are enthusiastic. And that's the way life appears. Sometimes we are enthusiastic and doing well, and then whammo, our mind or the material nature somehow pushes us over. But then there's other devotees that are enthusiastic. And in this way, what are they? Is it the geese that fly in formation? And they say one of the geese is out front, and then after some time it retires back a little, and another goose. I don't know if it's a good example, the word, a bit of a goose. But anyway, if they take turns of leading. So in the association of the devotees, that is the mood. If we are going to be morose and cynical, we should go and stand in a cupboard, Prabhupada said. You should go in a cupboard and don't wait and then come out when you've decided not to be like that. So, the path of devotional service is very scientific. And by hearing these pastimes, we will be able to more and more absorb ourselves. And we all know, we see that we're not as young as we used to be. Maybe 30, 40 years ago we were speaking in a similar way. And 10, 20, 30, 40 years goes past. And we all know as we get older it goes faster and faster. And if we can continue on this way, then Krishna will reciprocate. Ye yatamam prapadyante tam tataiva bhajamyaham. Everyone, as they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly, Krishna is saying. So if we are engaged in this way, then surely at the time of our departure from this world, I've heard a beautiful story, I won't repeat the whole story, but how, and you've heard many stories of even persons who are fathers and mothers of devotees have had amazing departures from this world. They've actually chanted Hare Krishna at the time of their death, their passing. And so much benediction is given by Krishna. Even those who were demons who were attacking Krishna. I'm trying to, yeah, Putana was given the same position as Mother Jasoda, as a mother of Krishna. Why? Because Krishna only saw the good. Hare Krishna. Please accept. And then Srila Prabhupada writes then, what to speak of devotees who have sincerely, to the best of their capacity, tried to seriously chant Hare Krishna and engage in Krishna's service for their whole life. Will Krishna not reciprocate? What have you done that's so bad that Krishna is giving such benediction to Putana, whose only business was to kill him? He gave great benediction. Also, Srila Prabhupada says that yes, the Krishna is providing for all the living entities. The ants are getting their food. The elephants are eating 40 kilos every sitting. And they're all getting their food. So will he not feed his devotees? Certainly he will make arrangement for the devotees. So we are so fortunate. And we are blessed by the association of devotees. Sometimes we feel we're cursed by the association of some devotees. But don't go there. We've discussed that many times also. When we make the choice to join this movement, we have to understand one very important point. All your miseries will come from the devotees. Because we've given up the association of non-devotees, isn't it? We have to give up the association of non-devotees. Okay, do that. So then where is your happiness and distress going to come from? Your happiness and distress is going to come in the association of devotees. So if we make the big apparat or the mistake that this devotee is the source of my suffering, it's him or it's her, she's the one or he's the one, we are not seeing properly. They are simply an instrument on behalf of Krishna to take us through some trials, some tests. And tatena kampam susamiksha manan, we know this famous verse, that a person who is able to see those reversals in life as the special mercy of the Supreme Lord becomes qualified for liberation, real liberation, to go back home, back to Godhead. So our happiness and distress will come in the association of devotees. And I'm sure you've had the experience of some conflict at different times in your devotional life. And if you look back, you'll most likely see it different now than you did at that time. And you'll see somehow or other it was Krishna's arrangement to make me a little more humble. That's okay, I think. There you go. So I'm going to finish, and I just realized the time is getting on. Thank you, Prabhuji. Has anyone got any question or comment, correction? But I must say, be kind and ask me very simple questions. And yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Very nice, very uplifting. It's more of a comment concerning Krishna's flute. In the Bhagavad Gita, it's stated that when Krishna blows his flute, all the mobile things become mobile. And all the immobile things become mobile.
Yeah.
That is like, for example, the rocks will start to vibrate. The water that is moving will freeze. Like if the calf is sucking the mother's breast, it will just remain there. The animals will just froze. They will just remain standing.
Stunned, yeah.
See, so powerful is that flute.
Mm.
Because, you know, it's so amazing. It's a very nice description.
Thank you.
That's my comment.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. You've just reminded me, I remember going to a Rathiatra once, and this young boy was dancing at Rathiatra, and he was, I think, from Indonesia, but he was a very beautiful young man. Maybe I think he was 18, 20 years old, and he was dancing at Rathiyatra, and he had makeup on, and he had beautiful lotus eyes, and he was dressed up as Krishna to do the Krishna Lila pastime for Rathiyatra. And I was so captivated by his dancing. It was so nice. And I was thinking, how beautiful Krishna must be. This is just a blood and flesh person jumping around. And we hear how attractive Krishna, the best dancer in Vrindavan. Yeah. Krishna, Krishna. Any other comments or ways to help us meditate on Krishna? Before you, please, you are you going to get a mic or it's not working? I also remember one time in Russia, I was visiting Russia at the festival there, and they had two beautiful little children dancing on stage, and they were only maybe, I don't know, 6 or 7 years of age. And again, it was just so beautiful. These young, innocent children were dancing, and they did a very nice performance and beautiful music. And I was thinking, wow, if this is just little children dancing, we can only appreciate how it must be in Krishna's pastimes.
Earlier you were mentioning about the universe and the planets and stuff.
I don't have a scientific background, but recently I gave a lecture in New Zealand based on a lot of things that I had watched, some scientific videos. There's some really good YouTube things on intelligent design, mainly I think coming from the Christian scientific group or community, and they produce amazing clips to show very convincingly how all the different scientific theories don't hold any weight. Darwinism and chance theory and string theory and all these different theories that science has played around with for decades, and that the most compelling evidence shows and indicates intelligent design. The next conversation is obviously who is the possessor of that divine or supreme intelligence. They don't want to have that discussion. They're just trying to get through that. And the amazing thing is we look out into the universe and we cannot deal with the vastness of this universe. We think we can, but you actually can't. It's absolutely colossal in size. And then we look into the atomic structure to try and understand what is this creation. Now Darwin, he presented the idea that the complexity of nature and life comes from a very simple life form, which is the single cell. And in his Origin of Species, I think it's number 18 stanza that he writes there, he says, if it can be shown in the future that the cell is more complex than I am presenting, he's presenting that it's basically just a lump of globule stuff which becomes gradually more complex, my whole theory collapses. Now, through quantum physics and modern scientific research, they have been able to see with their electron microscopes the complexity of the cell is just as complex. One cell is just as complex as the entire universe within a cell at a microscopic scale. And I could talk a lot more, but it's getting late. I could explain a bit of what goes on inside. There's machines inside the cell that are more complex with all moving parts. I won't go there. Yeah, there's quite a lot going on in the atomic structure. Okay, we'll finish. Sorry for that. I've broken a sacred rule of going too late. Hare Krishna. Granth Sarat Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.